Our Sunday night study is titled, It Starts With Me. It Starts With Me. And we can point the finger, and it's easy to do that, about all that's going wrong in our world. But in reality, it starts with us as individuals. And so we've been looking at some different aspects of that. And tonight we're going to look at a personal study daily of God's Word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. The Bible admonishes us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word, will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Let's pray. Lord, bless your word tonight, God, and speak through me, your vessel, this evening as we seek to develop, if we have not already, a daily study of your word. And God, we trust that your word will be as life unto us and springing up as a well of water and sharing its truth to us each and every time we open it, Father. Lord, be with our hearts this evening. Be with our minds as we clear our thoughts to focus on you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated tonight. There was a severe bombing in an English town, a small English town, years and years ago during World War II. And there was a woman who stood in the middle of that little town in the middle of the street. And she cried out in anguish. And she said, I've lost everything. I've lost my home. I've lost my husband. And I've lost my children. I've lost all my earthly possessions. I've lost everything. And after a moment, she composed herself. And she clenched her Bible right here toward her heart. And she said, I haven't lost everything, Lord. You are with me. And I have your precious, precious word. And friend, outside of Jesus being our Savior, the greatest gift that God has given us is his word. And tonight, I really just want to challenge you that if you don't have a personal daily time that you spend in God's word, friend, start tonight, start tomorrow. I'd prefer tonight and make that a priority in your life. Let me read from the next chapter of 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Now, this chapter is just about 17 verses long, and I'd like to read through it, but stick with me through this. And it's talking about, my Thomas Nelson Study Bible has a little note above this chapter. It says, the coming apostasy. And that's what this chapter details. And follow along with me as I read this, or turn there in your own Bibles. But it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You know, there, at one point, God, in essence, says, they stopped reading my word and talking to me and started talking for me. And in the perilous times to come, verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I wonder if what I'm about to read describes the current state of our nation. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3 says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Is this ringing any bells? Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just because we're increasing in knowledge doesn't mean we're increasing in truth. You understand? Verse 8 says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was." In verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity," it says, "patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." In verse 13 it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And you read that passage and you think, good night. I mean, it's talking about people being led away from the truth, blaspheming God. They're turning away from that which is good. They're calling evil that which is good. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And in all of that, in the coming apostasy, the question you could ask is, well, what should I do? What can I do? This sounds nothing but doom and gloom, and it's almost as if there's no hope at all for Christians. I mean, we're getting overrun here. What can we do? Verse 14 gives us the answer. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Friend, the answer is simple. What can we do in the coming apostasy? What can we do when this world is waxing worse and worse? Instead of trying to point the finger and say, well, if we just fix this or if we fix that. No. The Bible says, continue in the things that thou hast learned, in the holy scriptures. And friend, if we are going to survive, and I don't mean that physically, I just mean spiritually survive these perilous times, then we have to be in this book. Continue is what it says. I think the greatest tragedy of most Christians is that they neglect a daily reading of God's Word. And what happens is that, in essence, those same people, when we're trying to be godly, when we're trying to be godly spouses and parents and children and men and women, His Word is absolutely necessary. And it's our food, right? You know, this is strange, but something happened to me this past Thursday into Friday that I don't know if it's ever happened to me in my life, okay? Let me just start by saying this. On Thursday, I don't eat much throughout the day. I usually eat maybe a granola bar or something, or smoothie, but at dinner time, you best believe I'm eating, all right? And I'm hammering some food, okay? And that, I don't know, that's just, I don't have to eat throughout the day, but by the time I get home, I am hungry. And after I eat the first supper, then if I eat early enough, then I'll eat second supper later that night and then get some sweets. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Get some sweets, a bowl of cereal or something, all right? I can't get distracted. But Thursday, I did that. I went and didn't eat throughout most of the day, and I had a piece of pizza, just one piece, around 6 o'clock or something. And then I got home. We went to kind of a little get-together, me and the kids, and I had one piece of pizza. Sierra was working. I got home. We went out and we did yard work. Me and Uriah were out late, kind of cutting a path down our trail down to the creek so we could go there the next day and swim and have fun. And so it's like 11:45 at night. I get in. By this time, I'm like nasty, sweaty, just wore out. I don't feel like eating, right? And so I go to sleep. The next morning I wake up, the same routine, I grab a granola bar or some crackers or something, and then go the entire day without eating. And then it hit me that morning, I didn't eat anything yesterday. I didn't have a meal, like a full meal. Now, maybe that doesn't sound so strange to you, but I don't know if ever in my life that I can remember that I went an entire day without eating a meal. Now, that's how blessed I've been in my life. But at the same time, I'm thinking, man, I didn't eat anything. And then later that day, because I didn't bring anything for lunch, I got home about 5 o'clock and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was just depleted. And I thought, oh, this is why we should eat. And I was worn down and I was so tired that night. I mean, it's like 9 o'clock and I'm you know, dozing off on the couch, and usually I'm up pretty late. And I had depleted my body of nutrients and food. And guess what? I was having a hard time functioning. Now, friend, just as food provides strength for your physical body, this book provides food for your soul, for your spirit. And there are many times where we will go weeks and months without picking this thing up and really getting a good meal. Now, we may come and get a granola bar. We may get some peanut butter crackers. But how long do we go without really feasting on the Word of God? That's how the Bible describes itself, as food. And yet, is it a coincidence that many times we have anemic and carnal and weak Christian lives? This is the most precious possession we have outside of Christ. It's His Word. And not only did He give us His Word and inspire it for us, He preserved it. You understand that? He preserved this book for thousands of years through the corridors of time so that you and I could pick it up in 2019. Matthew 5:18 says, "Not even one jot or tittle shall pass away." He has preserved it for you and I to read today. Isn't that amazing to anybody else? There are men and women who have completely given their lives for this book and the ability to own and read and study this book. It has been Satan's plan from the very beginning to try to destroy God's Word. He wants to discredit it. He wants to dilute it, doesn't he? Satan began way back in the Garden of Eden when it came to Eve. He questioned God's Word. "Yea, hath God said?" Well, yeah, He did, just a chapter earlier. And then He said, "Ye shall not surely die." The direct opposite of what God said. He, in the very beginning, from the first book of the Bible, we see Satan questions God's Word. And he continues to do anything and everything he can to attack God's Word today. And I think one way that he does this is he discredits its authority in the Christian's mind. This morning we talked about being ready, be prepared. We should not be put to shame when someone starts to argue about God. We should be ready to go toe-to-toe with anybody when it comes to defending this book. Somebody said, you don't really defend the Bible much. You just let the lion out of the cage, right? I think that's pretty good. But at the same time, we are to be ready to argue a defense, it says, to be ready to give an answer. And look, you can come to church, you can come to Sunday school class for years and still not be ready to give an answer because you haven't personally picked up this book and studied it yourself. Personal Bible study is the only way you can truly be prepared. Because you're not hearing it. You're not getting it secondhand. But rather, it's going into your own eyes, your own life. How much do you enjoy reading God's Word? Psalm 119, verse 103. If you want to know about what the Bible says about the Bible, read Psalm 19, 119. It'll take you a while. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And yet almost every verse of Psalm 119 speaks about God's word. And I love this. It says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Is that how we see the Bible? Or do we see it as stale? The psalmist says, "How sweet, sweet like honey." Honey was it's a sweetener, we know that. But to them, to compare it a little bit, it would be like me saying it's as sweet as sugar. We use that, almost every day, don't we? And yet in that time, honey was just that. They didn't just put it on biscuits when they got the side dish over at Bob Evans. I mean, they used it on a daily basis. Said it's sweet. All right. How many of you, this is an obvious one, you see $100 on the ground, $100. How many of you are picking that up? What if it's blowing away in the wind? Are you chasing after it? Raise your hand. All right. I'm tracking that thing down. What about $50? Keep your hand up. 20? 10? 5? What about $1? Would you run for $1? I'd run for $1. That's a third of my kids' allowance. But I don't like calling it allowance. It's payment for services rendered. So that's a third. Now, what if you saw a quarter on the ground? Would you pick it up? A dime? A nickel? A penny? All right. I'd pick a penny up. I do. I tell my kid. Now that you got kids, like, hey, get that penny over there, right? Heads, tails, I don't care what it is. And yet, how often is this thing sitting on the shelf in our homes every day, and we just walk back and forth, never to pick it up? You know, the Bible says that the words are more precious than silver or gold. Silver or gold. Is it sweet to us? Is it valuable to us? Let me just give you four simple thoughts tonight about spending time in God's Word. I really won't be long. I want to hear about these babies. Four simple thoughts. Admit, commit, submit, and transmit. That's it, all right? I mean, that wasn't it. I got to get into them, but those are the four. Number one, admit it as the Word of God. Admit it as the Word of God. When you come to this book, you have to understand that you are opening a document in which God Himself has inspired and had penned down for your eyes to read. And when you come to the Scriptures, be sure to recognize it as God's inerrant word. That means it has no errors, all right? It's the perfect word of God. Look, the Bible won't mean much to you unless you see it as the one authority in your life, the number one in your life and for your family as well. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Do you see it as some words, or do you see it as God's word? In 2 Timothy 3:16, again it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Friend, if this book is not inspired, then it is no better than any other religious book. And in the same level, it's no better than my word or your word. If this isn't God's word, then it's just a bunch of helpful tips on how to live our lives. Although, this book is a lie if it's not God's inspired word, because it says again and again, "Thus saith the Lord." The Lord said. We just got done studying the book of Leviticus in ministry training class. And if you want to get super spiritual, you dig into Leviticus, all right? Some people are like, "Hey, I kind of skim over that one every year in my Bible reading calendar." Leviticus. And over again, 82 times in the book of Leviticus, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, and unto Aaron. Friend, you have to see this book as God's word. If it's not, why would anybody follow it? It's no better than any self-help book. And this is what we really need to be teaching our young people as well. That this has authority. It's not just a thing that we do when we come to church where, you know, it's just based on this book and some fun stories. But this is the authority for our lives. It's not an opinion piece. It's not a suggestion, but rather this book determines what God wants for us to do. Admit it as the word of God. Number two, commit it. Commit it into your heart and your life. Commit it into your heart and your life. You're not only to read it, but to study it. You can skim over this book and you can read a chapter really quick just to check it off your, you know, your Bible reading calendar. And look, we've all been there, all right? But in order to really, really get something out of this book, if I could borrow from an old vacation Bible school song, there may not be too many people, maybe one or two people in this sanctuary that knows this song. We're dig, dig, dig. If you know it, feel free to jump in. We're dig, 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 and for the truth, truth, truth in the Paul. Word, word, word of God. And we're digging. And that wasn't Wally B. Lutz. That was Dr. Doug A. Fosselup. That was the character. I still remember. And I remember that song. But friend, on a serious note, look, we dig into God's word. We search the scriptures, right? Not just the skimming over. You not only read it, but you study it. You know, people who mine for diamonds or precious stones or whatever it is, they take a big hunk of rock and they bring that thing back. And you know what they do with it? They cut it and then they chisel it. And then they polish it to get those stones. And is it not similar to what we do with God's word? We take his book and like those stones, we understand the scriptures are filled with precious truths. But they have to be sought after and carefully studied out. And you can take time and just blaze through it all you want. But friend, if you really want to get something out of it, you got to dig into it. The Bible talks about meditating on the Word of God. We think about that as a kind of a spiritual nonsense. Sometimes we think of meditate. Oh yeah, I'm going to meditate. But meditate just really, in essence, the idea comes from an animal chewing cud, where it's getting all the nutrients. It doesn't spit it out. It holds it there, getting everything out of it that it possibly can. Scriptures are filled with precious truths. Here's a passage from this morning. Let me read it again. Acts 17:11 says, "There were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily." That's the best word in that verse. Daily. Whether those things were so. Daily searching of the scriptures. Psalm 119 in verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I think that's probably a pretty good prayer to have when you open this book. Because look, what happens is sometimes we open this book and then we start thinking about everything except for this book, don't we? Ever happen to anybody else? I mean, you start getting distracted. You're thinking about tomorrow. You're thinking about what happened yesterday, 5 minutes ago, what you're doing after this. And then pretty soon we get through a chapter and realize, I don't remember a single thing I just read. Or you pick up this book and you start reading and you got all the energy in the world, just took 3 shots of coffee. And then all of a sudden you start getting tired. You start getting weary, start getting sleepy. Instead of reading 3 chapters, you read 1 chapter. Maybe we come to this book and we open it up and we say, "God, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." That's a great prayer. You know, I've heard this before, but sometimes I got to hear it a few times for something to click in my mind. I heard somebody say, you are as spiritual as you want to be. You are as spiritual as you want to be. And that's so simple, isn't it? And yet it's so true. We say, well, I wish I was. No, you really don't. Because if you really did, you'd be that spiritual. You are as spiritual as you want to be at all times. At all times. You know, something we keep bringing up on Sunday night is that thought that people don't act like Jesus because they don't think like Jesus. But why don't they think like Jesus? Probably because they don't know how Jesus thought. And unless you're going to think like Jesus, you need to be in this book right here to be studying what he thought, what he taught, right? One, admit it as the authority in your life. Two, commit it to your heart. Three, submit. Submit. That's not a word we like, is it? Submission. Submit. Me and my brother, my nephews growing up, that word, that was not a good word at all. Because if somebody said, I submitted, that means that during a wrestling match, we're rolling around on the ground, they got you in a chokehold or an arm bar or a guillotine or a Kimura or something, and somebody, they're tapping. It was the ultimate sign. It was the ultimate sign of defeat and humiliation to hear that tap. And sometimes you get to the point and some of them would be like, break it, you know, and we'd be going crazy and wrestling and submit. That's not a word that comes natural to us. And yet when we come to this book, we have to have our minds already determined that we will submit to what we read. Sometimes we come to the Bible and our minds are already made up that I'm going to fit whatever I read to match what I already believe. Instead of coming to the book and saying, God, I want you to formulate what I believe based on what I read. When we come to it, we need to say, Lord, before I even open this book, I'm asking you to open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And when I do, God, Lord, I will submit to whatever you have me to do. Submit in simple obedience. Psalm 119, you'll hear that a lot tonight. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. According to thy word. We're not just to read it, but to live it out. Our entire, really our series for the year is Ezra 7:10. Seek God's law, do God's law, teach God's law to other people. We're not just to read it, we're to live it out. Remember what the book of James tells us? James 1:22 says this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face, his natural face, in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When you walk away from the Bible, we've talked about this in depth. You look in the mirror, you see something's wrong, you fix what's wrong, you don't walk away. And in the same sense, when we come to this book and we open it up, we are to come in a submissive heart to say, God, if I see something in this reflection, I'm going to do something about it right now. I'm not going to walk away, Lord. But when I come to the mirror of Scriptures, Lord, show me every blemish, show me every wrong that's in my life. And Lord, I submit that to you. When you walk away, maybe you need to pray that prayer. Open my eyes before you open the book. And when you close it, maybe you need to pray, God, now help me to apply it to my life. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Doing what's right trumps saying what's right every time. And we can talk about it all we want, but doing what's right always trumps saying what's right. Number four, and we're done for tonight. Admit it as the authority. Commit it to your heart. Submit to it in obedience. Number four, transmit it to a lost world. Transmit it to a lost world. I want you to notice how Jeremiah pictures God's word. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? The Bible says God's word is like a hammer. It's like a fire. The hardest heart, the most cold heart toward God's word, the hardest heart can be broken. It's a hammer. The greatest tool and the only tool, soul winning, that we have that can truly save a soul is God's word. This morning we talked about persuading and reasoning, showing someone evidence of God's word, convincing them, not just taking a blind leap of faith into Christianity. And yet evidence only takes you so far. God's word seals the deal. Please, whenever you're witnessing to someone, use reason, use logic, just as they did in the scripture, but do not discount God's word. Well, they don't believe the Bible. Why? No, 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 friend. It's the word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is God's word. It's not my reasoning that's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of the Lord. Don't put away your sword. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? God. Read it through. Think it clear. Write it down. Pray it in. Live it out. Pass it on. Apply it to your lives. Let me say that again. Read it through. Think it clear. Write it down. Pray it in. Live it out. Pass it on and apply it to your lives. Let me close with this quote, one of my favorites by Adrian Rogers, one of my favorite pastors to listen to preach. He says this, if you want to learn about flowers, read a book about botany. If you want to read about the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon, read the Bible. If you want to study the stars, read a book on astronomy. If you want to study the bright and morning star, read the Bible. If you want to read a book about rocks, you need a book on geology. But if you want to hear about the Rock of Ages, friend, you got to read the Bible. It's all about Him. Listen, it's all about Him, but it's all for us. It's not for Him. It's all about Him, but it's all for us. Would you stand with me tonight and bow with me?